It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owens Beef Cooking.
Hello, everyone. Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen. How are you on this fine day, the fifth day of October, the 278th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar? Are you well? I do hope so. Today is World Teachers Day, and there are many devoted teachers amongst you out there in Radio Land. We all wish you the very, very best and send you our heartfelt gratitude for working towards enlightening young minds. Bravo for the teachers! In French history and women's history, too, on this day in 1789 was the famous Women's March on Versailles, one of the earliest and most significant events of the French Revolution. It came about because the women in Paris were angry. In the markets of Paris, they were near rioting over the high price of bread when they could even find it. As our friend Wikipedia notes, their demonstrations quickly became entwined with the activities of revolutionaries who were seeking liberal political reforms and a constitutional monarchy for France. The market women and their various allies grew into a mob of thousands. Encouraged by revolutionary agitators, they ransacked the city armory for weapons and marched to the Palace of Versailles. The crowd besieged the palace, and in a dramatic and violent confrontation, they successfully pressed their demands upon King Louis XVI. The next day, the crowd compelled the king, his family, and most of the French assembly to return with them to Paris. Okay, so the women were used for political ends, but what else is new? Women did it. And the rest is history, as they say. Did you know it was women who really launched the French Revolution? Ha! Weaker sex indeed. Of course, it only took France until 1944 to allow women to vote, and oddly enough, it was on this day in 1944 when French women won that right under the Provisional Government of the French Republic, the interim government of Free France after the liberation from Nazi Germany. And then it took until 1965 for French women to be allowed to accept a job or have a bank account without their father's or husband's consent. Surprising, no? It's nice to hear some early Western music from time to time, especially when so beautifully and faithfully played. That was an anonymous piece called Bourrée d'Avignonnaise, a very old French dance performed by the Jordi Savall Ensemble.
Hello, I am Priyanka Pal from RFI Women's Club, Murshidabad, West Bengal, India, and you are listening to the Sound Kitchen, and Susan Venezbay is cooking.
Are you ready, my friends? Because it's time for the quiz. On the 31st of August, I asked you a question about the Group of Seven, the G7. Their summit had just wrapped up. This year it was held here in France in Biarritz. The Group of Seven, as you know, used to be the Group of Eight. I asked you when it changed from G8 to G7 and why. You were also to tell me who wanted that banned number 8 country to be let back in. The answer is Russia. Russia is the banished country. It was suspended in 2014 after it seized Crimea from Ukraine and supported militias trying to break parts of eastern Ukraine away from the country. U.S. President Donald Trump said the United States, as the host of next year's meeting, might invite Russia to participate. But given the latest news out of the U.S., Trump may no longer be in a position to invite anyone. Donald Tusk, the president of the European Council, told the New York Times, and I quote, "Under no condition can we agree with this logic. The reasons why Russia was disinvited in 2014 are still valid." When Russia was admitted to the group in the late 1990s, Mr. Tusk continued, it was believed that it would pursue the path of liberal democracy, rule of law, and human rights. Is there anyone among us who can say with full conviction, not out of business calculation, that Russia is on that path? European Union officials have noted that there are other international forums for Russia, like the Group of 20, that include countries like China and Saudi Arabia that are not democracies. The winners of this week's quiz are my very dear Tangachi, Adita Pritika, from Tamil Nadu State in India. Adita is a big DXer and is well known to many of you. Hello, Adita! And of course, Adita is an RFI Listeners Club member. There are other RFI Club members on the winners list this week. There's John James B. from Cross River State in Nigeria, and from the other side of the continent, Solomon Fesahazian, who's from Asmara in Eritrea. From Kerala State in India, there's club member Radhakrishna Pillai. And last but not least, from Muzaffargarh in Pakistan, Bushra Nawaz. She's a member of the SunGat Radio Listeners Club. Congratulations, winners! As you all know, we lost our former president, Jacques Chirac, last week. He was the president when I moved here, and I immediately appreciated him because I could understand every word he said. He articulated and spoke slowly. He often said, c'est-à-dire, which means that is to say. He said that often in his speeches, and I loved hearing him say that. No particular reason, I just liked it. Still do. Okay, to like a president because he articulates is not the best of reasons, I get it. But being able to understand what my new president was saying made me feel, I don't know, included in, a part of French life. And I've never been so proud of my beloved adopted country as when President Chirac admitted and apologized for France's collaboration in the deportation of Jews to concentration camps in 1942. France always said, oh, that was Vichy, not us, but it was France. That denial thing has always completely shocked me. It was French gendarmes who rounded up 13,000 French citizens and sent them to their death. The other thing which will always keep Chirac close in my heart is his refusal to join the Americans in invading Iraq. I was so afraid that France would give in to the big old U.S., but we didn't. Rest in peace, Mr. Chirac. Other things in his political career I'm not so pleased about, but those two things make him very dear to me. Jacques Chirac was at the center of French politics for over 50 years. His first political appointment was in 1962, when then Prime Minister, he was later President, Georges Pompidou, appointed Chirac head of his personal staff. Chirac went on to become prime minister himself, not once but twice, and he was elected president twice as well. You are to send me those dates. From when to when did Jacques Chirac serve France as prime minister? And from when to when did Jacques Chirac serve France as president? Again, send me the dates Jacques Chirac served as prime minister and the dates he served as president. C'est-à-dire, vive la République et vive la France. You have until the 18th of November to get your answers in. Be sure to tune in on the 23rd of November to see if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address and, if you have one, your RFI Listeners Club membership number. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 1216 82. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
This is the Sound Kitchen and Susan Owensby's cooking. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many thanks to our producing engineer, Pauline Leduc, for putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. Before we go, I have a request that you send me your musical requests. Instead of playing old interviews as replays when I'm not in the kitchen cooking for you, I'll put your musical requests on. Sound good? Does to me. So to your pens, my friends, send me your music requests. I'll play you out with a French classic, Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille, or It's 5 in the morning, Paris awakens. It's about all the people who are moving around the streets in Paris at dawn, the partiers who have yet to go home, the market people, the milkmen, the prostitutes, the street cleaners, the cafe owners. It was written in 1968 and was a huge hit. The singer is Jacques Dutronc. I just learned about this song from my French husband. He had a very early train to catch and was on his way to the station. He was rather grouchy, but then the sun began to rise behind the Eiffel Tower and his grouchiness went away. That moment made him think of this song, and he told me about it, and now I'm telling you about it. Talk to you next week. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, and stay in touch.
Je suis le dauphin de la place Dauphine et la place Blanche à mauvaise mine. Les camions sont pleins de lait, les balayeurs sont pleins de balais. Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille. Paris s'éveille. Les travestis vont se raser, les stripteaseuses sont rhabillées. Les traversins sont écrasés, les amoureux sont fatigués. Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille. Paris s'éveille. Le café est dans les tasses, les cafés nettoient leur glace. Et sur le boulevard Montparnasse, la gare n'est plus qu'une carcasse. Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille. Paris s'éveille. Les banlieusards sont dans les gares, à la Villette on tranche le lard. Paris by night regagne l'écart, les boulangers font des bâtards. Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille. Paris s'éveille. La tour Eiffel a froid aux pieds, l'arc de triomphe est ranimé. Et l'obélisque est bien dressé entre la nuit et la journée. Il est 5 heures, Paris s'éveille. Paris s'éveille. Les journaux sont imprimés, les ouvriers sont déprimés. Les gens se lèvent, ils sont brimés, c'est l'heure où je vais me coucher. Il est 5 heures, Paris se lève. Il est 5 heures, je n'ai pas sommeil.